Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. Happy to be here with you on a Tuesday night. As always, I'm joined by the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny, how goes it?
Greetings and salutations.
And Phil here, keeping us between the white and the yellow.
Salutations,
Phil, how are you?
And greetings.
Excellent. It's been an interesting week. You know, Johnny, since we started doing our lunchtime show, I am to the point now where I have very little memory of what we talked about last Tuesday night.
Much less at 11:45 this morning.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the things that is going on out there, some things that we'll talk about on the show today, we've got some interesting things to talk about with 31 Atlas, which is the comet, maybe, that's moving through
our universe.
They say our
solar system visitor.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that. We're also going to get into some really interesting talk about pre-policing.
Predictive AI policing.
Predictive policing.
So think Minority Report.
That's exactly what you need to think, except AI instead of oracles.
Right. So no supernatural precogs.
Right.
It's more Palantir algorithms.
That's right.
Yeah.
AI named Oracle.
Palantir and Anduril. Right. I think Palmer Luckey's got a lot going on with that, too.
There's, again, I think that is... I can't remember what agent did the report for that.
It was Wolf. I think it was Agent
Harlan
Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So we'll talk about that. And then that will be an interesting conversation. We're also going to talk about Starlink has made a big purchase.
Oh, boy.
Big purchase.
I don't think people understand. We talk in niche circles on this show a lot.
That's true.
But in the idea of SpaceX, Starlink buying, is it EchoStar?
EchoStar,
it will affect everyone with a cell phone.
And I think you told me Agent Zena's got a report on that.
Agent Zena does have a report on that. That will be in the second segment. Sure. She will set it up for us to talk more and more about it.
Well, one of the things that we could comment on is these jobs reports that are revised. I'm to the point now, Johnny, where I don't believe any of the numbers they give us to be true one way or the other, just because I don't think they can reliably calculate it. I don't think they have a method to reliably provide the data, and I think they've just been making it up as they go.
Right.
And figuring it out along the way.
But it's as you told me, they're using it to prop up markets to defend themselves or to hurt another administration. So all depends on we are using this antiquated process of figuring out this very complicated thing of 365 million people in this economy to figure out ups and downs of job markets. And we have come to realize it's incredibly inaccurate. They're just making up as they go. And the idea is it affects markets one way or the other. So the idea is, I would say, why do it at all? And then you gave me those three reasons why they do it. But the idea is now, why do markets care at all now? Because you know it's BS. Yeah. It's garbage.
Well, the other thing I would say is it matters to voters. And if would have told voters the truth last fall, that there were 800,000 less jobs, there are people who would have made the decision. There are people who voted for Kamala who, if they'd have known there were 800,000 less jobs, would have voted for Trump.
That
instead.
Sounds like a Russian disinformation laptop story, too.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Very interesting. I wonder. Funny. I can't believe people.
They say history rhymes.
Write narrative stories to.
That was only 24 hours, though.
To change things for an election. That's shocking.
They only hid the article for 24 hours, though. It was just 24 hours.
So
it doesn't
shocking.
Matter.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Shocking. You know, somebody taught me one time. If you have really low expectations, you can't be disappointed.
question authority even your own.
I saw this tweet that's making the rounds. It's got a gazillion shares, but it's a girl in a sundress. And she says, for everyone looking for marriage advice, just put on a sundress and tell them you don't trust the government.
Oh, you get some interesting men that will come up and say, howdy.
Yeah.
There's a picture of a woman.
Probably most of our listeners.
Yes, very much so. There is a picture of a very attractive woman in her mid-30s that she is kind of like Mona Lisa smiling into her thing with a jumpsuit. But her thing was she attacked a IRS agent and said, in the Fed. And people are like, how is this woman single?
When we come back, I'll be on the blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, here with the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Starlink, but you've got some breaking news you want to talk about.
As of September 10th, which is not true. Oh, that's right. September 10th over in Europe. 2025 reports. This is a Grok, by the way. So this is
pretty legit.
This is Grok. Eight seconds. September 10th, 2025, reports indicate Russian drones breached Polish airspace during strikes on Ukraine, prompting Poland to scramble jets and close Warsaw Airport briefly. Polish officials have confirmed the incursion, and there's no evidence of a large-scale attack on Poland. So that triggers article stuff with our NATO stuff, right?
Yeah, don't forget the Bulgarian official that had their plane messed with their GPS.
I think I would not be surprised if there's some scheming going on, and that's kind of some testing of it's just like boundary testing, right?
They're poking the balloon to see how far they can poke.
Exactly what they're doing. And you can get away with that for a while. But also, I'm not 100% certain that if they invaded Poland, that Trump would come to the rescue.
Well, hold on. He would try to not do it first.
I'm saying
he ain't stupid.
Would the American people support going to Poland?
No.
Do you think the American people would support sending troops to Poland?
Hold on. It took us 2 years to get into World War II.
Yeah, my point. So
yeah,
those guys, man. But we didn't have NATO then. But I'm going to tell you, those folks, they have gutted their militaries so that they could spend money on the stuff they wanted to spend money on because they knew
Poland is the one that's been doing it right for quite a while.
Though. Well, on immigration, they've for certain, but their military is not enough to defend. They can't defend themselves. It's impossible.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. I'll keep an eye on that as we go. So
yeah, that could be a breaking story over the rest of the hour.
This is a story that we did in our day show, lunch break show a couple days ago. This is about predictive AI policing, right?
Okay. No, this was about Starlink first.
Starlink, yes.
We're going to do Starlink now.
Let's do Starlink, and let's go ahead and let the report set up our segment.
Perfect.
Greetings, seekers of the unseen and unlimited data plan users. Agent Harlan Wolf here, whispering from the dark web's edge. You've heard about SpaceX's $17 billion grab of EchoStar's wireless spectrum, right? This isn't just a business deal, it's a cosmic power play. Picture this. Your phone, that little brick in your pocket, suddenly pinging 5G from satellites orbiting Earth. No signal in the boonies. Sounds like freedom, but let's peel back the curtain. First, EchoStar was drowning in debt under FBI scrutiny for hoarding spectrum like a dragon on gold. SpaceX swooped in, not just buying airwaves, but saving EchoStar's skin with $2 billion in debt relief. Second, this spectrum, prime 2 GHz real estate, was gathering dust since 2011. SpaceX is now the alchemist, turning it into a global 5G elixir. Third, their Starlink network. Already 600 satellites strong, serving 6 million users. This deal supercharges it, promising 100 times the capacity. Now, let's talk competition and you, the cell phone user. This acquisition lights a fire under giants like Verizon and AT&T, forcing them to innovate or lose ground to SpaceX's satellite-powered 5G. it's like a new player entering a poker game with a stacked deck. For you, it means seamless 5G in places towers can't reach, remote trails, rural towns, even mid-ocean. Cheaper plans could emerge as carriers scramble, and your phone becomes a true global lifeline. But here's the twist. SpaceX isn't just partnering with carriers like T-Mobile anymore. They're cutting the leash, becoming a rival with rockets and airwaves. Imagine a chessboard where one player owns the board, the pieces, and the sky. That's Elon's game. Listeners, this deal's a double-edged sword. It could end mobile dead zones, connecting the world like never before. But when one company holds the keys to the stars, ask yourself, who controls the signal? Stay vigilant, keep questioning, and never trust a no-signal sign. It might just be the calm before the cosmic storm. This is Agent Harlan Wolf fading back into the shadows.
Interesting report from Agent Wolf, and I think he's onto something. I think this is a big deal. I think it's something people should pay attention to.
It's a huge deal. It's this idea that, and I hike, okay? So this isn't like I'm in some weird part of Afghanistan.
Right.
You know, I'm not in like the tundra of Alaska. This is North Alabama, 90 minutes outside of Birmingham. I'm in a state park. They have to use a wonderful group of radio people. You're not talking about
the watchtowers?
No, yeah, but
park rangers?
No, you're not talking about. It's the people who have like the in their basement.
Ham radio.
Ham radio operators. Yeah. They have to make sure we're all okay by using these series of relays. In the 21st century, we're using ham radios. Right? This thing is going to possibly allow where everybody's phones work and you get high speed internet and high speed data in the most remote places of the country.
I'll tell you this. If you drive from Montgomery to Selma, you will go about 30 minutes without cell service.
Yeah, that's called Radio Free Alabama.
Well.
Because you don't even get AM radio.
You get nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that place is like the Bermuda Triangle of radio waves.
So that was the way – it was the only time – like I'd be coming back from the University of Alabama. This is in the early 90s on 43 and 69 and 43, coming down.
I'm familiar with that one.
And the only thing I could get on the radio I was just trying to listen to the radio. The only thing I could get was like really strange local reverends or Mexican radio.
Interesting.
That was the only thing you could get for about 30 minutes in certain areas.
Yeah. That's – yeah.
Usually about – 5 minutes past Greenville, Alabama.
Okay.
Not Greenville, sorry, Greensboro.
Southbound.
Greensboro, heading south, yeah.
Yep.
That's usually on Highway 5. See, that was the, if you knew 69 to 5 to 43, you were in the know, so.
Yeah, they, I think it was like 43, 5, 25, and 69 or something like that. It's four numbers now.
Tuscaloosa, and it was so dangerous. And if you got in a wreck out there, there was no one coming to find you for hours.
Oh, no.
It was horrible.
And the odds that the wreck was caused by a drunken person driving a lumber truck were pretty high.
Or a deer jumping in front of your car. Yes. So pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. You know what's crazy to me?
Yes?
People, all right, here's where I'm going with this. Let me back up. Dolphins just in the wild.
Boy, that's a big jump.
Hold on.
Deers to dolphins.
Here's where how I got there.
Okay.
Deer for dolphins?
No, well, here's how I got there. My wife's family has a place in Josephine. And I made the comment that it feels we're in a very remote
town. That really is. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And you go down a road and then down a road and then down a road. If you've ever been to Pirate's Cove, go around the corner about 15 minutes. Yeah. But anyway, I made the comment because there's woods everywhere. I was like, it feels really weird. I see more dolphin than deer.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because you feel like, because you're in the woods.
You should, like, this is weird. Why do I see more dolphins than I do? Because every day I'll see a dolphin, but I don't see a deer every day.
Well, again, the geographical location.
I don't know. It's just interesting, right?
You ask AI why that happens.
No, but it's also interesting trying to explain to my kids when they're in waist-deep water that dolphin that's 50 yards away could snatch them by the leg and drag them off into the great.
Were they radioactive or something? Because dolphins don't do that.
They could if they wanted to.
No, they couldn't.
Yes, they could.
They wouldn't do that.
Have you talked to any of them lately? I'm not talking about the dolphins you used to talk to back when you were, you know, touring with the Grateful Dead. I'm talking about real live dolphins.
Is that like a Wookiee or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a type of person?
It just felt like I was going down a path that I just wanted to keep going.
When have you ever heard of a dolphin ever hurting a human being?
The psychic dolphin.
I want to know.
The psychic dolphin and Johnny Mnemonic. Remember that?
Well, if an orca will do it, why wouldn't a dolphin?
They're two different. They're not even the same. Like, no. They're called killer whales, not killer dolphins.
I bet we could find some dolphin attacks.
There's no
trained by the Navy.
Hold on. King of the Hill did an episode of this where a dolphin in captivity, you know, you pay like $500 for the dolphins.
Yep.
Well, Hank rubbed it the wrong way, and it molested him. So there has been some sexual attacks that I understand.
All right. Because
Mike Judge didn't just get that out of his own brain. I'm sure he read that somewhere.
All right, here you go. Here's dolphins in the wild.
You know, we're talking about groundbreaking telecommunication changes, and we're talking about horny dolphins now.
Well, here's at least
and killer dolphins.
There's instances from Brazil, Ireland, and Australia. It's a worldwide problem.
I don't believe
it. It is not just fake a localized
news. Fake news.
Ireland. They fake have news. Dolphin bites in Ireland.
Dolphin bites, or they killed them?
No. Well, it doesn't say. Yeah. It says it attacked several swimmers.
Fake news. Fake news.
Oh, it did contribute to one man drowning after it rammed him and knocked him unconscious.
He was horny.
The dolphin was believed to be stressed by human interaction. So it's our fault. Okay. In 2013, a swimmer was bit off the coast of Ireland and rammed by a dolphin. The dolphin was defending its territory. Okay. This is really detailed report here, Greg.
Good Lord.
This is what happens when you lazy prompt. So, like, I got this response because I lazy prompt like it was a Google search. I just asked Grok, has a dolphin ever attacked a human in the wild?
Right.
You know, like, there was just no effort.
Actively or,
yeah,
like,
there's a million things I could have done better. And so you get, that's a good example of you get what you get.
Can we please go back to the story?
Yes. Sorry.
Look, here's the thing. Starlink, which is pretty damn amazing. If you haven't understood or seen how Starlink works, I have been in an RV that had Starlink. That cost $300 a month, and that internet was as fast as I could ever imagine, and it's going to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Well, the U.S. Navy's now using them on ships, so that tells you how good it is.
So here's the thing. Starlink has been working with T-Mobile, and they have this whole – so there's T-Mobile, there's Verizon, AT&T that have these issues with terrestrial towers, right?
Yes.
What we're saying is SpaceX has rockets that can put up as many satellites as they freaking want, is now saying we now have the ability to use the infrastructure of an outdated system to use our satellites to send it down to those towers, is what I'm guessing, and the ability to let that ore coming from satellites, and the idea is your phone is now a satellite phone across the whole damn world.
That's exactly right.
So in the desert, in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of, like I said, national forest up in North Alabama.
Yep.
If you can get a signal, you have got full-on data, full-on calling. What in the world is that going to do to AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile? They don't own a rocket company to put up these satellites.
They do not. I think of it, this analogy just came to mind, so it may not be totally
appropriate. Sounds like
appropriate.
Buy Tesla and space. Well, you can't buy SpaceX.
There's got to be a SpaceX proxy somewhere.
Well, there's proxies, because you're buying private equity. But I'm curious, is Tesla wrapped into this or not?
Oh, I certainly will be. The latest is that they're going to buy parts of one another.
Well, other companies still have satellites up there. They've had them up.
Yeah, but not enough
to
go to
scale. They're also leasing a lot of them too. But also, if you have a company that can put up their own, that cuts the cost by so much, they can't compete because now they're going to have to be going to their competitor, Tesla or SpaceX, to say, will you put up more of my satellites? And they'll go, no, why don't you just lease my satellite?
Well, the whole point is they can go direct without the towers. Anytime they need to, right? That's how Starlink works. So I look at it this way. This is essentially like creating digital payments. Something that's never been done before. Now we can just totally bypass towers when we need to.
Yeah.
Go straight
to
satellites.
The
phone.
Yep. But it's a big deal, and it affects, like you said, those little black bricks in our pockets. We all have little black bricks in our pockets. But I need to be careful saying what I was saying there.
All right. We'll get back. We'll talk more on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night. Johnny, we teased earlier in the show that we were going to talk about predictive policing, minority report style stuff, and it may be on the precipice, and it may be a good time to have this conversation because everybody's seen the headline, obviously, of the Ukrainian immigrant that was riding the light rail, which I think is just the bus, right?
Light rail, yeah.
And was murdered on the bus by someone who had been arrested
14 times.
14.
I will guess that number will go up.
Right.
Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, he was also arrested in these other jurisdictions.
Well, they also didn't, you can't look at their juvie record.
Right.
Yeah, so God knows.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Here's my point. Is there a role in predictive policing to analyze the behavior of people who have been arrested many, many times? And if so, where's the line?
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a really interesting question because the technology is almost here. It's being tested now.
And they read your license plate and stuff like that already.
Well, their facial recognition. Yep. There's the idea of like it can look into your background. Are you a foster child? Did you come from a fatherless home? All these things. Palantir. This is the Palantir thing, man. This is the thing about this understanding of creating this mesh of digital footprint that can look at places, times, your background, and say, what's the possibility this person's about to commit a crime?
You know, traffic cameras are gathering a whole lot more information than just...
Yeah, well, here's the deal. It's not about the cameras, because if you can't analyze every video and all the data, it doesn't matter.
Was like Palantir's the one that makes sense of all that stuff.
So it's like, all right, people say, well, we've already got all these cameras. That's true.
Right,
But we don't have somebody that can sit and monitor
them. It's not the idea of like getting them after the fact like it is in that story with the Ukrainian woman. It's the fact of how – is there a way to stop pre-crime?
Oh, yeah.
But that's where it gets super weird also and unconstitutional. Let's go ahead and run the clip to set up the idea of predictive AI in policing.
Okay.
Welcome, world, to the future new police state. This is Agent Blake Poe here. Give me 2 minutes and let's talk AI policing, the promise, the peril, and yes, the minority report vibes you're vibing. Picture crime fighting like weather forecasting. Algorithms scan yesterday's storms, arrest logs, 911 calls, camera feeds to predict tomorrow's hotspots. In the movie, pre-crime ran on precogs in a milk bath. Today, it's black box math. Crime maps, risk lists, and alerts that say, send units here, watch this person. Some systems bragged eye-popping accuracy. Others whiffed and were quietly shelved. Meanwhile, surveillance grew fangs. Face recognition that tracks you like a thread through a city. License plate readers that remember every pass. Gunshot mics that triangulate pops. And body cam and 911 audio flipped into searchable transcripts at machine speed. Think retina scanners from the film, only now it's face prints and gait. Here's the catch. If you can't see how a system works, you can't see how it fails. Biased data in, biased patrols out, neighborhood, school, or income can act like masks for race. Several programs were scrapped for poor results or profiling. Others are expanding right now, sold as faster, smarter, safer. Simple checks for the real world. If an algorithm can steer patrols or a courtroom, can a normal person understand and challenge it? Has it been independently audited for accuracy and bias, not just demoed? Are there guardrails, warrants, human review, deletion dates, or just trust us? Is it paired with proven basics, prevention, treatment, opportunity, or used as a shortcut around root causes? Use AI like a smoke alarm, not handcuffs. It should find patterns, not pronounce guilt. Minority Report warned us, when prediction feels like prophecy, power stops asking questions. Here it is. Trust no black box. If they're drawing hot zones, they're drawing circles around lives. Demand receipts, policies, audits, appeal rights. If a tool can't explain itself, it doesn't get to judge you. Safety without liberty is a cage. Liberty without safety is a slogan. The balance is the mission, and they're counting on you not to look. This is Agent Blake Poe. Keep your eyes up, your questions sharp, and your footprint small. If the map looks inevitable, ask who's holding the pen. I'll be on the other side of the signal, where the noise gets interesting.
Well, it makes you wonder if we're going to go down this pre-crime pathway.
Predicting. It's not pre-crime. It's
whatever.
Predictive AI policing.
It's the same thing.
Hold on.
Hold on. Here's why. This is where we're going with pre-crime. Because one of the things they mentioned in there is using this data to send officers to somewhere where something could happen.
Right. It's like you said, it's like weather patterns. Okay, we're looking at weather, and the idea is this place usually gets a thunderstorm or whatever the pattern is.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and send these five signals.
Here's a perfect example. Creepy guy keeps parking at park but doesn't get out of his car and walk around. And he's been there 7 days in a row.
Right.
They're going to say, we need to go.
Then a human being doesn't need to see it. The array of cameras need to see it, and it goes through
through
Palantir software, by the way. It's Palantir software, by the way. There is nobody else doing what these guys have already figured out. And it would say, yes, creepy, and it's not just the white van thing. It's the guy sitting in the Camry.
Well, they're going to know who you are. So it's going to be like you. You are deviating from your pattern. You have a normal pattern.
Yeah.
And when you deviate from your pattern, they're going to want to know why you're deviating.
Or it's why is this kook 5 days in a row sitting next to this kid's park?
Yeah. I think we should go ahead and just microchip sex offenders.
Oh, dude, just
go ahead and microchip them.
Mark of the devil, brother. Oh, you putting out some strong demon talk right there.
They are devils.
I know they are, but
I do not have a problem with what I just said.
Hold on. I'm not saying I have a problem. I'm just saying the world has a problem with microchipping people.
Why?
Dude, have you not read the Bible? Have you not read Revelations?
Yeah,
that's
but...
That's all that whole thing of the mark of the beast.
Revelations was made up.
Well, if you could say...
By somebody.
Well, all things have been made up if you talk about the simulation that we live in.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. We're saying the same thing.
Well, hold on. I don't believe all that. You believe all that.
I agree.
Yes, I agree on my agreement.
I agree that I believe what you think I believe.
All right, so we are not far from. You're the one that told me that they figured out Bin Laden from
his gait, the way
satellite
he walked.
Video of his gait.
Yep,
the way he walked. That you know.
Yep. So they could not confirm it was him. Everything they believed was him. It was the right height.
They gave a predictive probability, and that was way pre-AI of what we know AI now.
Exactly.
I'm sure they had a version of it. It just wasn't near as complex.
Yeah. I mean, look, the safe way to think about it is whatever technology you know we have, go ahead about 30 years, and that's what
That's the whole thing about we never talk about the NSA and all the listening devices they have. Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean.
It never comes up. The NSA never comes up.
No, well, I think they're designed that way.
Oh, no, that's what they're supposed to be. By the way, that's a big part of the they. When someone says the they are a big part of they.
Well, the they
they're
are
listening
the people,
right now, NSA. How's it going, NSA? You can shampoo my crotch,
they're
NSA.
They're probably real bored with this conversation.
Yes, of course they are. They're like, look at these two peons talking to eight people.
Yeah, they don't care.
And three of them are sitting in the room.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know the reason they don't care is because we say things like, yes, microchip people. And they're
you said that.
Yeah, they're going to.
I didn't say that.
Well, we may be getting a new sponsor of the show if I keep saying we need a microchip.
A microchip company?
I'm talking about the intelligence community. They'd be like, yeah, you need to convince more people to get microchipped.
Look at you, man.
Just like, hey, they promoted the COVID vaccine that way. The government gave the Department of Health a bunch of money. Said, make sure everybody gets this vaccine.
And weren't you talking about that movie where somebody got their brain controlled by the microchip?
Yeah, of course.
Took control of the person, hijacked their brain with it?
Of course that's going to happen. Of course it is. You're just trying to figure out how often it's going to happen.
Look,
it's like driving a car. Look, you know somebody died in a car wreck today.
I've seen ding-dongs put their credit card in their fake fingernail to run their finger over there. So, yes, it's coming. I understand at some point it's going to be where it is everything you've read and every prophecy.
I do know a girl that worked for animal control. She microchipped herself, but she programmed it to say hedgehog. So all they saw was like this hedgehog moving around. Well,
do not date that woman is all I got to say. But she'd be fun to hang out with. I'm just saying don't marry that woman. Then she might be a little nutty. But
hedgehog.
Yeah. Wait, it's taking furry to a new level.
There's probably a joke in there that I don't need to say on the air. Look.
I might have said it already.
It does make sense because, like I said, my dogs are microchipped because I don't want to lose them, and it would be wonderful. It sounds like maybe I should microchip my child, but maybe we don't need to microchip our children or ourselves.
I don't know.
But, hey, man, this is a great song right here.
This is a great song.
Woo, brother.
Is this Michael McDonald or is it?
No, this is Michael McDonald. You're right.
I don't know yet.
This is probably Michael McDonald on this station.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know until right about now.
That's such a great baseline.
All right, we'll see when we come back on the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain here with you for the final segment, which we like to call Beyond the Blockchain. And today, Johnny, as always, this is where we talk about the weirder of the things that we're going to talk about. It's always weird, but it gets weirder at the end. This is the story that we've talked about multiple weeks in a row.
It won't go away.
And it's not going to go away till at least November.
Right.
So this thing is going to be with
hold
us.
Hold on. They said up until Christmas. Possibly up until Christmas.
Well, I guess we'll see. I do know that there's a window in time in October where it disappears behind the sun.
You haven't said what the story is.
Oh, sorry. The story is the great intergalactic anomaly known as 31 Atlas.
31 slash Atlas.
That's 31 so complicated. Atlas. 31 Atlas.
Yes. So we've talked about this at least 5 times on this show.
That's probably about right.
So let's go ahead and run the more information, and then we'll talk about it.
Perfect.
Greetings, stargazers and skeptical believers. Agent Xena here, your cosmic courier, beaming the strange and unexplained straight to your ears. We're diving into the interstellar enigma of 3I/ATLAS, the third visitor from beyond our solar system. Buckle up, truth seekers. This one's a wild ride. Picture this. A Manhattan-sized cosmic drifter, 3I/ATLAS, hurtling through our solar system at 137,000 miles per hour like a celestial bullet train. Discovered by the ATLAS telescope network, this interstellar interloper has sparked a galactic debate. Is it just a comet or something far stranger? Most scientists, using vibrant images from the Gemini South Observatory in Chile, say 3I/ATLAS is a comet, sprouting a tail and glowing coma as it nears the sun. Its chemistry, rich in carbon dioxide, a bit shy on water, mirrors comets born in our cosmic backyard, hinting that the recipe for planets might be universal. But hold on, Harvard's Avi Loeb and representative Anna Paulina Luna are raising eyebrows with a wild theory. They suggest 3I/ATLAS could be a technological object, perhaps a mothership releasing tiny robotic explorers called mini probes. These small advanced devices might be designed to scout our solar system, zipping through our skies and appearing as UAPS, those unidentified anomalous phenomena that make your spine tingle. Think of them like cosmic fireflies, blinking in and out as they investigate Earth or other planets. Loeb urges us to scan the skies for these probes, and Luna's pushing NASA to redirect Mars and Jupiter probes to snoop on this visitor. Why the fuss? 3I/ATLAS is a rare messenger from another star, a galactic postcard offering clues to alien worlds. Yet, Loeb warns, The rush to call it a comet feels like labelling a UFO a weather balloon. Representative Luna, leading the House Declassification Task Force, demands transparency, even appealing to the president for answers. Could this be a hint of non-human intelligence, like our own AI creations outsmarting us? As 3/ATLAS streaks through our skies, it's a cosmic wake-up call to question everything. Comet or probe-dropping craft, it dares us to peel back the veil of the ordinary and embrace the mysteries beyond. Stay vigilant, listeners. The universe is whispering secrets, and we're on the verge of something extraordinary. Back to Scott and Johnny. End of transmission.
Johnny, as I listen to that, I'm reminded of, I think we've talked about this previously, it feels like if it's not just a comet, it's probably somebody else's space junk that they just didn't want and just sent out into orbit.
So it's an intergalactic 1972 garbage. Pinto.
Yes, there you go. That's exactly what's going on. It's an alien jalopy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a garbage scowl.
Right.
Yes.
So have you heard the three visitor strategy?
No, I have not.
Okay, so in 2017, you have Oumuamua.
Right.
That made the news, right?
Right.
The same guy, Avi Loeb, you know, went across this weird, like, cigar-looking thing mm-hmm. that didn't travel like a comet. They saying that was the scout.
Okay.
Okay, and it went through our solar system and said, oh, there's something interesting here. And there was Borisov in 2019. And that was the second confirmed interstellar object identified as a comet. And that was more of a reconnaissance mission. So scout mm-hmm. and then reconnaissance. And they're saying 31 Atlas might be the probe. Actual probe or ship.
Like
and that's when the idea of
like our Mars lander.
Well, it's like what the Zena's report said. It's something very slow because it's very, very, very big.
Yeah.
And then it's bringing other ships inside of it to send out mm-hmm. from past the sun.
We've seen this movie before.
The mothership. Yeah, mothership. Yeah.
I watched called Independence Day.
Yeah, I know you're going to say that. Look, again, look, this stuff doesn't – look, you don't 84. Make this stuff up. We're just rehashing the same story over and over again.
The thing I think Independence Day got wrong is those aliens are still biological, right? So they can't travel light speed. So what's going to happen is
– yeah, but hold on.
These aliens
maybe
are going to project –
the bubble.
Well, those
– the warp bubble.
Or those are avatars – of the real aliens.
So they're surrogates.
Whatever. Yeah. What's the difference?
Dude, watch some sci-fi stuff, buddy. Avatars are digital. A surrogate would be like it's a robot and you're controlling
so
it.
So James
place.
Cameron should have named his movie Surrogates.
Should have.
Instead of
yes,
Avatar.
He should have.
Okay.
And that movie sucks, by the way. That movie sucks. It's Fern Gully. We've gone there. We've already said it. You told me it's Fern Gully, which I need to watch again.
Yes. You're like, is this Fraggle Rock? Yes.
It's not. Exactly yeah. Like Fraggle now, Fraggle Rock is more fun to watch than Fern Gully.
That's true.
And they sing so much better than everybody in Avatar does.
Man, I could see a reboot of Fraggle Rock working.
No. Jim Henson is gone. That company is not doing any of that stuff. I did see, though, where Animal did do a drum solo with, I think, the Foo Fighters.
That's
recently.
Fantastic.
That's pretty fun. That's
that
awesome.
That is great.
Man.
That's a great cool. use of your IP.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Disney owns
of course. Disney owns all of that. And, yeah. And I will say that when they had the MGM, I don't know what they call it now. Yeah. Like, you know, the
Lion.
No, it's just called Hollywood Lion. Studios.
It's called Hollywood Studios now. Yeah. The Muppet Theater was, I loved it. That was one of my favorite things we did. Yeah. So. And again, the two old men, I want to be the two old men eventually.
We basically are.
Yes, yes.
It's basically,
you suck.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, you call that comedy?
Yeah.
How's that news?
Is this stand-up or is this supposed to be?
We've heard this
be?
A thousand times. Yeah. Sorry. Again, not as funny as them.
No, we're not as funny as them.
But they are, again, very entertaining folks.
Yeah, but they don't have to go a full hour.
That's true. And also someone was writing for them.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
We need more AI writing. And I think his name was Waldorf and something else.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Waldorf was the bald one.
What's funny is, let's see, there's the Eddie Murphy movie, Trading Places.
Yes.
They remind me of the two brothers.
Yes.
That were like the rich commodities guys.
That's right.
Yeah, the two. Yeah, so maybe they're. Like,
I wonder if they were based off that.
I have no idea.
We'll find out
we'll
and let you know
up.
Next
yeah,
week.
We'll look it up.
All right, we'll see you next week on Beyond the Blockchain or sometimes during the day on lunch breaks.